Welcome to the Daily Office Lectionary. I'm Father Reed. This week, we're going to look at scriptures from the sixth Sunday of Easter. And these will go from Sunday to Saturday. Now, we've got three columns to look at in this post, the scriptures in this post. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, which are the Gospels, and the Epistles. Now, you'll notice that it's quite eclectic, all right? So we're not staying on one theme as we did last time when we looked at Leviticus, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Matthew's Gospel from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 and 7. You see Leviticus 25 on Sunday and Monday, and 26 on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we have the eve of the Ascension and Ascension Day. What is Ascension Day? Ascension Day is when Jesus ascended into heaven. So what happened was Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples and to others for 40 days. 40 days. Well, that number sounds like you've heard it before in the Bible. Yes, many times. 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven, and on the 50th day, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I referred to it last time. So we have the eve of the Ascension, then we have Ascension Day, which is a major feast day of the church in some denominations, because the Ascension of Christ is very important. And now Christ, as he ascended into heaven, he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, which we call the session, the session. So he was crucified, died, buried, resurrected on the third day, after 40 days ascended into heaven, and now is seated at the right hand of God. And when we talk about the second coming of Christ, he is going to come and judge the living and the dead at some time. Okay? So we've got 2 Kings chapter 2, which refers to Elijah and Elisha and the ascension of Elijah into heaven and leaving the work to Elisha. We have Daniel chapter 7, which is a great chapter and verse. We have 1 Samuel chapter 2 and then Numbers 11. So quite eclectic. But look at the New Testament. You have James, you have Colossians, you have 1 Timothy. Now, we're going to be mostly dealing with Ephesians over the next couple of weeks, but you have Ephesians, and then you have Revelation chapter 5. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 2 on Ascension Day, back to Ephesians 2 on Friday and Saturday. In Matthew, we've got Matthew 13 and then Matthew 22. On Ascension Day, we've got Matthew 28, when he ascends into heaven after he's given instructions to the disciples. Then back to Matthew chapter 7, back to the Sermon on the Mount, and chapter 7 on Friday and Saturday. So quite a bit is going on in the sixth week. We've got one more week coming up before we have the day of Pentecost. Well, let's cover this information quickly with you, and I hope you enjoy your reading for this week. It's a lot of good reading, a lot of good chapters. In chapter 25 of Leviticus, we are looking at the sabbatical year. Now he's talking about the year and what you are to do during that year. We have the year of Jubilee in verses 8 through the end of the chapter. Okay? And he basically says, for example, on verse 18 of chapter 25, follow my decrees and be very careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. I've said that to you on and on and on and on. Follow my decrees, obey my laws, you will live safely. The land will yield its fruit, you will eat your fill and live in safety. Okay? He says in verse 27, the land is mine. He said, you are but aliens and my tenants. Stewardship-wise, we don't own anything. Okay? The land is God's, the possessions are God's, we are God's. We are God's people. We are to submit to God and follow him and do what he says. Your life and my life will go far better if we do that. Chapter 25 of Leviticus is great. Now, look at chapter 26 of Leviticus. Now we're going to get look at the rewards for obedience and the punishment for disobedience. Okay? Now, the same listing or the similar kind of listing is seen in Deuteronomy 28. So he says in 26:1, I'll just read a few of them. They're excellent. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourself. Do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. I don't want you to worship me like that. Observe the Sabbath. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees, verse 3, and you're careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in the season. The ground will yield its crop, and the trees of the field will their fruit. And he talks about threshing. He talks about, here's what's going to happen if you do what I tell you to do and you obey me. Okay? Now, that's 13 verses. Verses 14 to 45 is what's going to happen if you don't obey him. 13 and then 14 to 45. If you will not listen to me and carry out my commands. Now, we need to carry out his commands. In order to do so, we have to listen to the Lord. And if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that I will destroy your sight and drain away your life. It is not wise for me, for you, for us to disobey the Lord. It is far better to obey him. When you and I disobey him, the next thing we need to do is ask for forgiveness. Repent. You do not want to incur the consequences of your wrongdoing, my wrongdoing, okay? Submit to the Lord. If after you all this, you will not listen to me, verse 18, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. And then he just goes on and on and on. Read it slowly. Read it carefully. Be wise. Confess your sins. Okay? All right? Confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Continuing on. 2 Kings chapter 2 on the eve of ascension. 2 Kings chapter 2. So let's go find 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 to 15. All right? This is, as I said, Elijah is being taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. Ascension. But this is not the ascension of Jesus, this is the ascension of Elijah. And verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. And as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. Isn't that wild? So Elijah is taken up into heaven. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is a prophet. Daniel chapter 7. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and after Ezekiel is Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, 9 to 14. As I looked, thrones were set in place. The Ancient of Days took his seat. This is God. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was blazing with fire. His wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. In my vision at night, I looked, and there was before me one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. This is Jesus. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. A fantastic scripture, Daniel chapter 7. That's on Ascension Day. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now we're going back again. This is to a history book. Leviticus is out of the Pentateuch. 2 Kings is a history book. Daniel, obviously, is a prophetic book. 1 Samuel chapter 2, which is a little bit earlier in the history of Israel than 2 Kings, obviously. You have 1 and 2 Samuel, then 1 and 2 Kings. Chapter 2, 1 to 15, 1 through 10, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 to 10 is about Hannah's prayer and praise to God for granting him a son. And she dedicates Samuel at the end of chapter 1, and she's praising the Lord for giving her a son. There is no one holy like the Lord, chapter 2, verse 2. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. He humbles and he exalts, the end of chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 9. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Chapter 2, verse 10b. Okay, so she is praising the Lord. She is thanking the Lord. She is worshiping the Lord. Then the last day, we have Numbers, back to the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, chapter 11, 16 to 17. 16 to 17, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, where God is present, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak to you there, and I will take the spirit that is on you and put it on them. This will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Now, we're anticipating the day of Pentecost coming. Remember, I told you that's going to be 10 days after the ascension. So Jesus ascended into heaven after being here for 40 days after his resurrection. In 10 days, the Holy Spirit is going to come down upon those gathered on the day of Pentecost. 24 to 29. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them, and he took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. So again, the Spirit of God comes. The Spirit of God is going to give us wisdom and understanding and use us for a prophetic purpose. He says in verse 29, Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put the Spirit on him. Now, the church is advanced greatly if people are led by the Lord and worship the Lord. Okay, lots of scriptures here in the New Testament. We start with James chapter 1. Just call your attention to that great scripture after Hebrews, toward the end of the Bible. James chapter 1, 2 through 8, 16 to 18. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind. Chapter 1, verse 2, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance, verse 4, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's not easy. Life is difficult. And in a Christian context, facing trials develops perseverance. Development of perseverance makes you a more complete and mature person. Enjoy. Colossians chapter 1. Now, we're just going to go back and forth here before we settle in on Ephesians. Chapter 1, 9 to 14 is a wonderful series of verses. I spoke about Colossians several times ago. We pray this, verse 10, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We want you to bear fruit. We want you to grow in the knowledge of God. We want you to live a life worthy of the Lord. We want you to please him in every way. Being strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, etc., etc. Beautiful prayer. Enjoy that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6. You're getting a good cross-section of scriptures here. It says in verse 3 and 4, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Okay? Who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 10. Very, very, very powerful book, the book of Ephesians. 1 through 10 is just is spectacular. It's just spectacular. Praise be to the God, verse 3, of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything that you need in your life spiritually is in Christ. Everything you need in your life, period, is in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. We are not born into the kingdom. We are adopted as a result of our salvation in Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given us in the one he loves. Then we go to Revelation chapter 5 on the eve of the ascension, which is a beautiful chapter about praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Revelation chapter 5. The scroll and the lamb. Because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. In verse 9, worthy is the lamb who was slain. In verse 12, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Okay? Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Hebrews 2, 5 to 18, another great chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Again, we're kind of going all over the New Testament here today. Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 18. We see Jesus, verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, his death on the cross for us, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. We want all of you to be saved. We want you to know Christ. We want you to repent of your sins and follow Christ. We want you to know that what Christ has done for us in his death, he tasted death for everyone so that you can have eternal life. Okay? Verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Okay? Destroy the power of the devil. Very good thing to have. Okay? And then we get back to Ephesians in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is just a wonderful chapter. Ephesians is pretty dense. It's got some very, very high theology, very high view of Christ, I should say. Its Christology, if I can use that term, is very high. It's very deep. It's a very profound book. Chapter 2, 1 through 10 and 11 to 22 on Friday and Saturday. Listen to the opening verses of chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This is what sin will do to you. It will literally kill you. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, there's the world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, our flesh. So there's the world, the flesh, and the devil in those first three verses. And following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of us, we were by nature objects of wrath. Not a good picture for us. But, verse 4, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created to do good works. God, who is rich in mercy, has saved us. And then we see in that second half of chapter 2, the ways that God has brought us together through the blood of Christ, verse 13. Jesus is the chief cornerstone at the end of verse 20. Matthew 13 is the chapter that deals with parables, and we see in chapter 13, 1 through 16, we see the parable of the sower. And then in 18 to 23, we see the interpretation of this parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is about four soils, okay? The hard path, verse 4. The rocky places, verse 5. The thorns, verse 7. And the good soil, verse 8. And what that means in 18 to 23. Listen to what the parable of the sower means, 18. And then he tells you what it means. And so what is wonderful is the seed, which is the word of God, is going to fall on a soil. Now, there's a 25% chance, opportunity, for it to fall on the good soil. And the good soil, verse 23, is the person who hears the word and understands it. So this is why the Daily Lectionary and this presentation to you is so important for me and for you. We need to hear the word, and the person that hears it and understands it, look at verse 23, produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The crop is produced. They hear the word, they understand the word. Okay? There's something significant about the word of God. All right? Something significant about the word of God. We need to hear it and we need to understand it. And when you do that, things work out well. When you don't do that, you have lots of problems. Chapter 22, 41 to 46. Let's see what that says. Chapter 22, which is our Wednesday text. Chapter 22, 41 to 46. When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. "Then how is it that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says," verse 44, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one asked him any more questions. Very interesting Old Testament scripture that he brings up to us. And as I said to you on Ascension Day, Matthew 28, Jesus sends them out, 16, the 11 disciples, remember we lost Judas, and we haven't gotten Matthias yet in Acts chapter 1. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." All right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. These are the last words of Christ in Matthew's gospel. All right, let's go back and finish off this week by finishing off the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, Friday and Saturday, 21 to 27, and 28 to 8, 4. Let's look at 22 to 27. "Many will say to me on that day," remember, only he who does the will of my Father in heaven is going to go to heaven. We enter the kingdom of heaven. "Many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," do, "is like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down," life is difficult. "The streams rose," things are not easy. "The winds blew, beat against the house," we're going to have tough conflict, there's going to be problems. "Yet it did not fall because its foundations are on the rock." What is the rock? The rock is Christ. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice," they heard, but they didn't do what he said, "is like a foolish person who built his house on the sand." Here comes the rain, here comes the streams, here comes the wind. It's going to fall with a great crash. We're not going to be able to escape the difficulties of life. We're going to need the Lord. We're going to need to have a foundation on the Lord. And this is why I encourage us, all of us, me, you, us, put your foundation in Christ as we celebrate this Easter season. Put your foundation on the Lord. Keep following the Lord. When Jesus had finished these sayings in verse 28, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he had authority and as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Then we have, he comes down and he heals this person of leprosy. What a fantastic person. Great teacher, great minister of the gospel, great healer, great compassionate person. That's the person we want to follow. Well, that was a quick run through of these scriptures. There is a lot in the sixth Easter, the sixth Sunday of Easter, which includes Sunday, and then we look at the daily lectionary. We have the readings for each day. Enjoy the wonderful scriptures that we have for you in this post. God bless you abundantly. And next week, we'll be looking at the seventh Sunday of Easter and the week's scriptures following that Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.